Okay, today's daf is Ayin Aleph. We're on the last line of Ayin Aleph is just the last four words. So Amalei Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar said Rav Yosha the Dare. He said to Rav Yosha, who was in his generation. Rashi points out Shari Bedorah. There were two Rav Yoshas. There was Rav Yosha the Tana, and there was Rav Yosha who was in the Mora. So to distinguish between the two, he's talking about Rav Yosha the Dare, right? So he says to Rashi adds also his Ben Gilo. Okay, so he says to Rav Yosha, Lo Tete Vakarech, do not sit down, rather keep standing. Ad Dimefarshis Le Loha Milsa. Till you explain to me the following words. Minai Lo Omer, how do I know that the Omer Shemachir Behashrasha? How do I know that all you need for the Omer to work is that the seeds took root? So the Mara said, right? Even if it didn't grow anything, it was, they took a little root, that's enough, and now they become mutter. So Rav Yosha says that to Minolon. How do I know? Where do we know it from? The Ksib, Pasuk says. Pasuk says Begabi the Minchas Omer. Says in Takriv Minchas Bikurim Lashem. When you're going to be Makriv the Minchas Bikurim Lashem, which is the Omer of it, it has to be of it, which means that they were completely grown. So to tell me that you have to use completely grown produce in order to be Makriv the Korban, Lav Mechlal can't we infer from that the Ika the Lavda of it that there are other produce there that's not completely grown. And that's a pasuk, you would have used it. So mashma is coming to be matzah then, right? Rashi says, "Niksiv avli kolli ve'esh b'dekamer mina aviv habam mina omer." Nichlal, it implies ikad lav de aviv the kashvi leomer, and the omer is going to make it. It's tied to the omer. The halo mamte kra el me'avos omer l'chudei. The only thing the pasuk is excluding is not what's mutter, but what's permitted to be brought on the mizbeach. So Rashi says, "Fine, okay. I hear a limud from aviv." But Dilma, the Lav Aviv, doesn't mean that it just took root. Maybe Lav Aviv means there's a whole long stage process. Why are you going, that Aviv is coming to, it's talking about all the way back in the beginning. Maybe it's the Lav Aviv, Olam the Ayo Shlish. Maybe it's talking about that, you're right, Eina Kanami, it's Makir fruits that's not completely Aviv. But it's only Makir them if they grew a third, after some growth, not just Hashrasha. So El Amar Shmuel, okay fine, you're right. Shmuel says it's from the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Mehachel charnesh b'akama." You have to be able to chop it with the sickle. You have to even cut it, right? Lav mechlal the ika the lavar charnesh. There must be that it's coming to exclude that you can't bring for the korban certain omer that's not royal to be cut, right? Which is just hashrasha. It's not big enough to be cut. They become mutter. You just can't bring them as the korban. The Gemara says, "Wait a second." The Dilma, the Lav Bar Chamesh, you're right, maybe it's that it's not completely, it's not Bar Chamesh, that you can't cut it, but we're Olam Shachas. Maybe we're talking about not root, or not seeds that just took root, but it's Shachas. It's, they kind of grew a little bit, that the animals can kind of go and chew on it and eat it. It's a later stage in the development, right? So how do we still know that the Omer is Matzah or everything is from Shachas Shrasha? So Gemara says, so Omer and Yitzhak, because the pasuk says kama, it has to bring. You have to bring the carbon from something that's kama, something that's there, that's balikoma, that has length, that it's actually standing. What? Right? Lav mifal does not come to infer the lav bar kama that there are seorim that did not grow to the point where there's a growth coming up that's standing, and yet the only thing that they're excluded from is being born as the carbon, meaning that they're permitted, there's a permit now to eat them. He says, wait a second. The Dilma, the Lav Bar Kama, what does it mean the Lav Bar Kama? Ulo Olam Agam, right? Maybe it's Agam, which means you're right, it's not Bar Kama, it's not standing, but I think Agam means it's big enough that it can be bent down, bent over. Again, the whole question is why are you going back to say that the Pasuk teaches me it goes to the early stages of the development? There are other stages of the development that you could say that that's what's coming to be Mutter, and earlier than that is not Mutter. So Gemara says, El Amar Rava, Rava says, this Pasuk is actually talking about the Shtei Halechem, which is brought on Shavuos, right? It says, V'chaka katsi v'kurim matzecha, asher tizra v'asada. And the whole thing, it says, asher tizra, and Rashi points out, asher tizra, Rashi says, V'chaka katsi v'kurim matzecha, asher tizra, mishas zriya shari, it's mutter, the moment that it's zriya, that it's planted. So the question is, that's why Shtei Alechem, we're talking about Omer. He says, V'shtei Alechem katsi v'zriya da Omerkai, it's talking about the zriya of the Omer. Why? V'shtei Alechem lo shor lemitish el tzul, v'shor Omer lehejo. It's the same fruit. They're matzu the same item. They left them and the omer. There's one's matzu for people, the kulin, to eat, and one's matzu for the korban. So whatever applies to one applies to the other, because it's not the same fruit. So he says, the Pasuk says, Asher Tizra Mishash Zriya. So at the time that it's planted. And that's what happens with Ashrasha. So Amalei Rav Papa, wait a second, Rav Rabbi Ihakai, if that's the case, it's only talking about being, when it's planted, Apagat Lo Shar Hishrish Nami. Now you went too far. Now you're saying, is this planting? Well, Hishrish has more than planting. The whole Machlokes was 3 days, 2 weeks, whatever it is. But it's more than just putting it in the ground. There has to be a time lapse in order for it to take root. So the Gemara says, no, Amalei. So Rabbi says back to Rav Papa, Sudani, which is a major Machlokes, what that means. Right? I'll just say that it's based, Rashi says, based on the possible Soda Shem Lareya, which means you Tama Chacham you, right? Sudani, Besodek Siv. It has to be Tizra Besodek. In the field. So I guess he's coming to say, right, he's coming to say that it has to be, Rashi says, Achi Niklat Venishras Besodek. It has to be Shartizra, planted, in the field. When is it considered in the field? It has to take root. Otherwise it's not in the field, otherwise it's on top of the field. If it's not in the field, there, at that. Okay? That is how we learn that the Omer is Matir Behashrasha. Next. Now the Mishnah is going to describe a bunch of situations where it was permitted to reap barley, to reap these produce before the Omer was brought. And sometimes with Tila, some with B'dievet. The idea is you're not supposed to touch the barley before it's brought. You don't do anything with it. But until the Korban Omer is brought. So in these situations you are. So the Gemara Mishnah says, Kotzrim, it is permitted to reap before the Omer, Beis Hashlachin. Beis Hashlachin is a very, very dry field that has to be irrigated, I guess, Sheba Amokim, that's found in the valleys. So Rashi of Samachas points out, the reason why is because there's a big hefset here. If you don't reap them because they're so dry, and you wait, then you're going to lose the produce. So they said, okay, you're allowed to gather it in, so it doesn't dry out and get root. Okay? Avalo, but you're allowed to reap them. Avalo gochim, but you can't make a pile out of them. You can't tie them together. Rashi and Pesachim points out the reason is because there's no hefsed if you don't pile them up neatly. There's no hefsed there. The only hefsed is to cut it off. Once you cut it off, there's no hefsed, so they're not going to extend their permit to that point where there's no hefsed, right? So Rashi and Pesachim and Dachman involved. This whole subject appears there, right? The chashash is that maybe when you are dealing with the Gedisha, you're going to eat it, which you're not allowed to eat till the Omer. When it comes to cutting it, you're not worried you're going to eat it because of the Hefzeh. The only reason why you're doing it is to save a loss. But once there's no loss involved, then there's a concern. That's number one. Anshe Yericho, the people of Yericho, right, was really interesting by itself, how you're living in Yericho, but Anshe Yericho, right, Kotzrim, they would cut their fruit. The point is that they're actually Yericho, and you know where Yericho is. It's a very dry area, so they had a problem that they would lose the produce. So they had to cut it. So Kotzrim were some chachamim. Chachamim didn't care what they did, meaning that they had shadus which are silchem and they had to cut it. So that was permitted. But Gochim, but then what they used to do, they would, I guess, put them in piles and tie them up. They would Gochim shalom b'rtzon chachamim. But that was not in accordance with the will of the Chachamim. However, nevertheless, lo michu b'yotam. The Chachamim didn't say anything to them. Right? I guess Meiri in Tosafot points out, the reason why they didn't say anything is because, really, al pidin is mutter. Because the only problem that you have before Omer is cutting, that we already gave them the permit. Putting together, the only reason why we said putting together is a problem, because there's a chash that maybe they'll eat it. The Chachamim say, you really shouldn't do that. You did it, but the evidence was okay. That's number one. Next, that's the next permit that you have to do. Kotrim, a person is allowed to cut the produce before the Omer comes, l'shachas. If it gets to this point of shachas, which is prior to it being completely ripe, but l'shachas and then machil l'behema. You can't cut it, apparently, this will play a role later, you can cut it for shachas and give it its feed to your animals. Right? Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Amosai, when are you permitted to cut the produce and give it to your animals? Because the whole problem is, right, Rashi says that the whole din, right, is that, is it permitted to give it to your animals, but you're not permitted to cut shachas for human consumption, right? And so too, you can't cut completely grown produce for animals, you only can cut shachas for your animals. So Rabbi Yehuda though limits this. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, when did the Chachamim say that it's mutter to cut shachas and give it to your animal to eat? That's bisman shemasil ad shalohi bishlish, up to the point of a shlish growth, right? That's what Tashit is. Others will say that until two thirds, meaning there's only a third left. Tashit is up to it grows a third, right? If it hasn't grown more than a third, then you are permitted to kotzer the shachas. If you started cutting before it went to a shlish, then it can continue afterwards. But the original cutting of it has to be before a shlish, and then you can feed it to your animals. Rabbi Shimon says, no, yikstor b'yachil ach mishehev shlish. Even if you start cutting it after it reached the third growth, you can still cut it for your animals, meaning a person is permitted to cut the shachas and give it to his animal. Idea being, I guess, that he doesn't have a shame tzira. It's not considered tzira on something that hasn't been fully ripe. It's not fully ripe. It's not fully ripe. It's not considered kotzer. And if it's not considered kotzer, then there's no isra of doing it before the havata omer. Okay. Mishnah, the next case, Mishnah says, v'kotzrim, you're allowed to cut the trua before the havata omer, mipnei nitiyos, because of the plantings, because of the trees. Pashas is that it's going to cause damage to the trees in the field, then you're allowed to cut the produce because it's going to cause damage. There's going to be a hefsed. They point out also that the reason why it's mucha here is because there is a Mishnah on Pei-Hei that's going to take the din from here. The halakha is that any field that the produce in that field is not roy to be brought as the omer, you can cut before the omer. The only thing that has to be cut, the only time the omer, only thing omer has to be first is things that could theoretically be brought as the carbon omer. And the Mishnah later on says, it says that produce that grows in an orchard is not roy to be brought as for the omer. So therefore, if it's going to cause damage, the Rabbanan say you can cut it. But it's only not cutting it within the Rabbanan anyway. They say that the Rabbanan is not going to apply here. Rashi says, right, it's what coach with Nanatios, Shiloh used to do, that they won't lose the trees. The Pisha Osa Tfua, that Tfua over there, ain't a Rui Omer. It's not susceptible to be brought as the Omer. Kedamina Perikola Karbonos, we'll see later on in Dafe Hei. Aimavian, you can't bring the Omer from produce that came from Lomi Beisha Shlithin, from the drier areas. But Lomi Sade Elon. Vamina Bashmaitin, Mimokum Shiyatam Avi Atakotzer. You see, we're going to see in our Gemara that at a place where you cannot use for the Omer, you are allowed to be kotzer. I guess maybe the Rabbanan said you can't, which is going to cause damage to the other items, the trees, then it's going to be mutter. So hold on, what do you mean? Some say the cutting it for the trees is because there's kalayim involved. But what do you mean for Nitios, which will go according to Rashi, right? Pasha Rashi says because there's going to be damage to the trees, right? And also, Nipnei Besa Evel, let's say you have a field, and you want to use that area for to do the bracha, the birchas aveilim, which they used to do outside. So you let it clear that area, and you let it cut that even before the omer. And also, it made bittul beis hamedrash. There happened to be so many people learning, right? So you needed an area to clear to have the talmidim sit. So you can even be coached to those areas before the omer is brought. However, lo yasa also krichos. Because Rashi explains, you can't tie them together into bundles. You can't tie them together into bundles because the permit here is just to clear space, not to tie them into bundles. But you leave them untied. You cut it and you leave it untied so you have your room. Okay. Next, the Mishnah says another couple of dinim by Minchas Omer. He said, Minchas HaOmer Levo Min HaKama. Really, the Minchas HaOmer should come from the volume that has not yet been cut, but it's still attached, right? But low matzah, if you didn't find food, that's mechubal karka. Yavim in amarim, you can take it from the stuff that came off, that fell off. That's fine with the evidence. Mitzvasah lavo min alach, it should come from moist produce. But low matzah, let's say it was a very dry season, you didn't find anything that's moist. Yavi yavish, you had to bring from yavish. My question was, I had, we said the other day that you had to bring it from Yerushalayim because ein mavirin al mitzvos. I can't go elsewhere. What happens if it's not Minakama in Yerushalayim, if you go further out, you can find Minakama. So what trumps? You do Eim Avir and Al Mitzvos, or do you say, since it's Kashrut B'di Evan, then you should take it from here also? I don't have an answer, I just have a question. Which trumps which? Okay? Next case, Mitzvaso Litzor B'Layla. Lichatila, you should do the Tzira at night, But nixer bayom, if it was done during the day, then it's kosher, which plays into the Sfiras Omer sugya about doing it during the day. It is still kosher. In the last case, v'docha efe Shabbos, and the tzira of the Omer, we're going to see on tomorrow's daf, the question is whether this applies at during the day or only at night. The tzira of the Omer is docha Shabbos. Okay? It's docha Shabbos. Next. The Gemara now brings a brice to explain why, how you learn out that it's mutter to the tzira by the Beis HaShlachim in the valleys before the Omer. So, Tanya, we're the following brice. Rabbi Binyamin Omer. Rabbi Binyamin says, Kasev Echad Omer, one pasuk, seems to be a stira of the psukim. Kasev Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Ukitzartim et tzira, you do your tzira, v'haveisim es Omer, and then you bring the Omer. So it's master from there that you can cut the tzura, you can cut the produce prior to Avos Omer. But another pasuk says, Uksiv, Reishis Kitzirchim elakohen. That's master from here that the Omer has to be Reishis, it has to be the first. How is it the first and not the first? What's the stira? So Moshe says, Hakeitzad, how is that possible? So Mimokam Sha'atam maybe, from a place that you would be permitted to bring the Omer, like a regular slave in Samal, then Iyata Kotzer. You're not allowed to cut it before you have also Omer. However, Mimokam Shi'iyata maybe, but from a place where we see the produce would not be permitted to be used for the Mimchas Omer, from that place, Ata Kotzer, you're allowed to cut before Omer. So the Sada Beis HaShlulchan, which we're going to see later on, is a place we're not allowed to bring the Korban Omer from. Therefore, you are permitted to cut the Omer, to cut that produce prior to Avasa Omer. Gemara says, wait a second. Ema, why are you telling me that the answer to the Stila Pesukim is to say usable for the Korban Omer or not usable for the Korban Omer? Ema, maybe you can answer the Stila the following. Mimin she'ata mevi i'atakotzer, but mimin she'iata mevi atakotzer. Maybe it talks about the different type of produce. Why? Because there are five types of grain, and maybe the pasuk is saying that only so'orin you can't cut before the korban omer, because the korban omer is coming from that product. However, the other four, maybe you can cut it before the omer. So the Gemara says, no, ha'hula matzis amr. You can't say that. Maybe the Rabbi Yochanan, because we learned yesterday. Remember from yesterday, we learned that they are shoving from Yochanan. We learned from Hafrash Skala, which said that just like Hafrash Skala is no heges by all chameshes minei dogon, so to the Isser Ketzira is no heges. Is no hay before Havasa Omer, even from the items that you don't bring them in Chas Omer. It applies to all five. So therefore, you can't say that that's the answer to the Stira. So we go, so before to say the answer to the Stira is from items that you made, that from a field that would be, that the produce would be allowed to be brought to the Korban Omer, as opposed to a field where the barley would not be allowed to be brought as the Korban Omer. Okay. Anshe Yericho, send the Mishnah to Anshe Yericho, the people of Yericho would coach him return chasamim, they would cut it for return chasamim, the gochim, which I think I mean they would put it in piles. They would put it in piles, shalob rosh chasamim. What? Okay. Better word, one word. But, right, the gochim shalob rosh chasamim, and they would stack it not in the chorus with the will of chasamim. However, the chasamim didn't say anything to them. So the Gemara says, trying to figure out who the pound of our Mishnah is, who has this concept of, you know, Michul, not being Mothem. So, Man Shamas laid the Amr Michul below Michul. Who is from the Tanayim who has this idea of Michul B'yadam or Lo Michul B'yadam, like it says in our Mishnah? The Gemara says, it's Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda, right? He's the one who's seen a Braisa, he's the one who says the concept of Michul below Michul. So, therefore, the Mishnah must be in accordance with the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says, but that can't be. The sub Rabbi Yehuda, Sir the Anshe Yericho, and Ritzach Chachamim Havi. Our Mishnah says that the Ketzira of Anshe Yericho was done in accordance with the permission of the Chachamim. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that? Obviously, we can see that. V'hatanya, we have the following Braisa, that he holds that the Ketzira, this Ketzira, was not done through Ritzach Chachamim. To figure out why. Because we have the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Shisha Devarim Asu Anshe Yericho. The Anshe Yericho did six things. And obviously, more than six things, but these are the six things that we're talking about. Three, the Chachamim agreed was permitted. But three, the Chachamim did not think was a good idea. The Elish of Ratzon Chachamim. And these are the things that the Chachamim said were okay. Number one, Markivin Dekalim Kol Hayom. They would graft the branches all day on the 14th of Nisan. On Yud Dal Nisan, you're not supposed to be doing Malacha. A lot of people admit not to go to work. You're not to do Malacha. The whole Sugya in the fourth parak of Pesachim. You're not allowed to do Malacha. But what they would do is they would mark it to the Cholim. They would, there's a whole Machlokas, right, so there's a Machlokas in Masechas Pesachim on Daf Nun Vav, where this appears. What does it mean that they're doing? What does that mean? So there, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not really grafting. They would do something to make some sort of drink. I don't know. And then they would make this sort of potion, and they would take this potion. And it's almost like they have like some sort of fertilizer, some sort of miracle grow. They would make a miracle grow, then pour it onto the tree. So that's what he says over there. And another non-dharma there, it's not that they were grafted from one type of tree to another type of tree. They would graft a young tree to an older tree of the same type. So it's not really grafting. They're just trying to give strength to the older tree with the younger tree. Fine. But the problem is that, isn't that malacha? You're not allowed to do malacha, right? Rashi points out, Markim the Kolam Kol Yom, it's the fourth last line, it's the fifth last line. He says, Shema Barsa Benison, the Savi Lab Malacha Chashuvahi. It's not malacha chashuva. So maybe be permitted to do that type of malacha on, you know, on Erev Pesach, and the Chacham say it's okay. Number two, what they would do, v'karchin ashashma. They would cut off the Shema. What does that mean? So Rashi points out, v'karchin ashashma, v'farsh v'sachim makash nagu, shayom Shema Yisrael, v'lo hayusim afsik v'tim revach, then table to table. They wouldn't say Shema Yisrael, they would say Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. They wouldn't give any break between the words. Chacham say that's okay. Come and say that's okay. I guess the whole sukkah over here is how you prophet is supposed to say Kriya Shema. Tosfos points out a lot of Perushim, right? Tosfos Kolchem says the Perak Makom Shenogam Mufarish Hefi Avid. What did they do? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Hayim Yisikin. Just like Rashi said, they didn't stop. V'nira Lafarish. What does it mean? Lo Hayim Yisikin. The Lo Hayim Yisikin Ben Yisrael L'Shem. In other words, they would say Shema Yisrael Hashem, as opposed to saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which Tosfos points out. The law you must seek and make Yisrael ashamed. Shelo yaniris. So it didn't sound like ka omer Yisrael sheyishmas Hashem. Really, Shema Yisrael. The Kabbalah is supposed to be listen here, Israel. Hashem, our God, Hashem is one. But if you put the comma in the wrong spot, it doesn't mean that. They put the comma in the wrong spot. Punctuation matters, but not so much because the Chacham said it was okay. But you know, first, law you must seek and make Yisrael ashamed. Shelo yaniris ka omer Yisrael sheyishmas Hashem. Or pasuk the krah hainu Shema Yisrael. Right, the pasuk of the krah. The pasuk Rotosa says. Is Shema Yisrael, listen to Israel, because Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Well, Yerushalmi Armin, and Yerushalmi says, Shelo Hayim Masikin Ben Teva the Teva. They wouldn't stop between each word. Ve'yesh Misha Omer, Shelo Hayim Masikin Ben Echad Lebaruch. Which I think means they would skip, they would go straight into Baruch Shem. I saw somewhere else where it says that they would actually skip Baruch Shem Kavod. So according to that Mandarim, they'd actually skip Baruch Shem Kavod. What happens if we forget Baruch Shem Kavod? We have to go back and say it again. So, Machlokes the Poskim. But that's what they would do. They were Korchim as Hashma. Alright? And number two that they did, the Kotzrim with Naomer. They would reap their produce before the Omer. And these three things were Tanach HaKavim they would do. Again, because it was a dry field and it was a Hefzeh. HaKavim said that these three things were okay. They were permitted. The Eilu Shalom were Tanach HaKavim. But these are the three things that they would do against the will of the HaKavim. Number one, Gotzrim with Naomer. They would then sort of pile up. They would pile up the what they cut before the Omer. We said that's the problem, because there's no heter for that. The heter is only to cut it because of the law. But Goshen, as we said in the Mishnah, there's no loss, and there's a shav that maybe they're going to eat it. So Chum said that that's not the right thing. And number two that they did, umatirin gamzios shel hete shachar v'shel shifma. They had these charev trees and these shifma trees that were originally were made hektish by the people, and they would still, right, get hana from the branches on these trees. Because they held that the hektish only applied, I guess, to the actual stalks and the bark and the wood, but not, I mean, sorry, to the trunk of the tree, and it didn't apply to the branches. Right? That's what they would do. And that was a problem because the Chacham, I guess, said that the whole thing was hectic. You shouldn't get, right, Gemara Pesachim points out, right, that the forefathers of Anshe Yericho were makdish the shikma and the charuv to bedek abayis. They were makdish before the leaves grew. They were makdish when they were young saplings. So, and afterwards, the anafim grew. So the Anshe Yericho thought that there's no mi'ila by the dulei hektish, and therefore they were makdish themselves to get hana from these growths. But the Chacham weren't maskim, and therefore that they weren't maskim, they were doing wrong. Tosfos asked, what's the big deal? Why couldn't we just be posed at those trees? You have the concept of this. That why would they do shlo ritzon chachamim when you can go ahead and you can be makil the anafim if you makalo the trees on a shlova prutah? That's Tosfos on Amud Beis. Tosfos says im tomar the yichalu shlova mona al shlova prutah. The bisman hazeh shori afilu tachila to the mukul pesol makil shadei. You want to do that? That bisman hazeh. But Tosfos, the second answer, Tosfos is fascinating. He says that permission is only given to the owner of the tree, and these guys aren't the owner, and therefore they couldn't do it. Okay, so that's number two that they did improperly, and number three that they did improperly was portin pratzos begino sehen ubifarzos sehen. They would make a hole, I guess, in the gates that guarded their gardens and their orchards in order for the aniyim to be able to come in. The hachil mishar to allow the aniyim to eat the peros that were unattached that fell off. La aniyim b'shnei betzoris so the aniyim can have food during the bad years, and they would do this b'shavasos ubiyomim tovim. They would do this even on Shabbos and Yontif, right? The Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir said these three things were no good. The problem with that is that the Gemara Maseches Shochim, again, in the Vav and Beis, which is a machlokas, right, is what's the problem here? According to Ula, the problem would be that if you opened it up to the Aniyah to come on Shabbos to take the stuff that was not attached, maybe they'll come and take the stuff that is attached. And that's a big violation on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to reap that on Shabbos. The other problem is also that this produce was detached now, but was attached to the shmashos, and therefore it's muksa. And it allowed them to touch the muksa. Okay. But that is, they weren't there. That was not ritzon chachamim. That's what Rav Meir says. Three ritzon chachamim, three not ritzon chachamim. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Right, the whole point of bringing Muhammad bin Israel is because of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Im ritzon chachamim he mosim. If these things are permitted to be done, the chachamim says, okay, you call other mosim king. Why does it say Elan Shen Yericho did it? Everyone should be allowed to do it. So Chacham says, it's okay. Why are you limiting it only to Anshe Yericho? So Ella, rather, Elu ve'Elu, both, all these six things, the three and the three, Shalom Ritzon Chachamim. All that was done was not Ritzon Chachamim. But rather, what's the distinction between the first three and the last three? But Al Shlosha Michu B'Yadam, the first three, on three of them, the Chacham said, you did a problem, because that's Asram Ikra did, that would be the last second list. But the first three, it was only Asr because of the Gzeiros, the Chacham didn't say anything to them. So you see now, Rabbi Yehuda is one who says the concept of Michu below Michu. But, right? And then he explains. The Elu Shalom Michu B'Yadam. These are the three things that they did not care so much about. Number one was Markivin the Kolon Kolayom, the Korcha Mes Hashma, the Kotrim Ugochim with the Omer. And they worried Mocha about the Tzira and the Gedisha before Omer. The Elu Shalom Michu B'Yadam. And these are the things that they did protest was Matir and Damziel Shal Kadesh, but their mamash Kadesh, Shachor Bishal Shikma, their portion protzos with the Seyam, Ufar Doseyam, Kidela Achel Mishal, Anim, Mishnev, and Sora Shabbos Yom Tovim. That's number two that they said it was Usram Ikra Din. And number three, as a third one in, Benosin Pela Yorek. They would leave over Pela in their fields even from vegetables, Yorakos. And that's a problem, even though they're not chayav in Pei in a din. And that would happen. So they were makir these yerek, and by being makir these yerek, because yerek is now putter from meiser. You can't do that. Now they purposely make something putter from meiser. So the problem is, they said you're not allowed to do peya for the yerakos. And these things michu biyadam. But according to this, you see that Rabbi Yehuda said that kochim called him Omer was lower to chachamim. We try to say that our Mishnah went to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says that Kochim Lifnei Omer and his Beis HaShulchan was Ritzon Chachamim. So the language of Michu below Michu is like Rabbi Yehuda, but the context is incorrect for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says this is a problem. It said, Eina Kanani, they didn't say anything, but still it was not done with Ritzon Chachamim. So the Gemara says, well, Ultameich, I got a problem for you to begin with. This whole Brisa makes no sense. Ultameich, Shisha, you talked about, you said that the Brisa said there were six cases. We added that last case of Teya, which made a seventh case. So the Brisa itself is the problem. Internally itself is a problem with the Brisa. The Gemara says, El Asami Mikan Katsira. Take out the word Katsira. So in the Mishnah where it says, the Shlosha Dvarim, in Rabbi Huda's interpretation, where he says, Shlosha Dvarim, Shalom Michu B'Yadam, it's not Kotrim with Gotrim with Le'Omer, it was just Gotrim with Le'Omer. Which if you take out the word Kotrim, Kotrim doesn't appear in this Brisa, but Kotrim does appear in the Mishnah. Kotrim with Le'Omer is done, Ritzon Chachamim. So therefore, our Mishnah can be like Rabbi Yehuda. Got it? Fine. Okay. Some Mikan Ketzira. Now it gets hard. Okay, the Mishnah says that Kotzer l'shachas u'machle behema. One of the things you're permitted to do before Habas Omer is to cut the shachas, the small growth, right, and feed it to your animals. So that feeds your animals. That, and Rabbi Yehuda says, when is that? It's only if it hasn't grown to a third. Shimon says, even if it grows to a third. The concept of Kavash being is whether or not Sira Shachas is considered, has a shame Sira. Tanan Hossa. We're going to bring down the Mishnah Peah. Okay, the Mishnah Peah, it's the first Mishnah, the second Peah. It discusses, you have to take Peah, you have to leave over Peah, the corners of each of your fields. Question is, what's considered one field? You know, someone, Baruch Hashem, someone has a whole big farm. At what point is it divided, considered a second field, and therefore you have to leave over Peah in each area? Or is this place considered one continuous growth, and therefore you don't have to leave one set of Peah, no matter how large it is? So the Mishnah lists a bunch of things that divide the field into two, which would require you to leave over Peah in both parts of the field. So Tanan Hasam, the Elu, these are the things, Matzikim Lepeah, that make a Hesek Lepeah. Like we said before, that if you have one of these things, it separates the field into two portions, and therefore the judge has two fields, and you have to leave Peah in each area. And you can't just take one for the other. Number one is Hanachel. You have Hanachel, right? You have, I think it's hard, I thought it meant a stream. But you have this sort of stream that's going down through the middle. I don't know how to interpret it. A ravine, is it? A wadi. Yeah, that's what it means. Hanachel is a wadi. Okay, that makes more sense. Right? You have this wadi that comes down through. That separates. The Hashiluvis, which is some sort of irrigation canal. That's where the rainwater gathers. The Derech Hayakir. And a place that, like, it's almost like a street. It's a sidewalk that's used for people to walk. That divides it. The Derech Harabim, I mean, Derech Hayakim divides, Derech Harabim also divides. Maybe it's Lozu Avzu Ketani, right? Those are these permanent walkways that divides the field, right? Ushvil Harabim, Ushvil Hayakim, Akavu, Yimosa Fem, Yimosa Gishamim. Then you have, Derech Harabim is for everybody to use. That's always used. And then what's different between a Derech and a Shvil? A Shvil maybe is a smaller thing. But that is mafsik only if they're kavua throughout the year. So if it's only some sort of path that's used part time, that's not mafsik. The next thing that's mafsik is habur. If it's a portion in between the two fields that's not not planted, it's not plowed, sort of like a wild area in between. The hanir, and also a completely plowed area in between. Let's say you have one field and in between you have a whole plowed area. That clearly separates between the two parts of the field. There, zera acher. I think it also means that, let's say, you're planting corn, and then you plant wheat, and then you plant corn again. So the two corns are not part of the same field. The wheat in between separates the two. Corn, which means I must be talking about America. That can't be corn. No, but they grow corn in Israel. But so wheat, barley, wheat. Then that's a separation. Okay. And now the Mishnah says the hakotze l'shachas. Let's say. At one point in the middle of the field, it grew to the point of shachas, and you reaped it, and you cut that off. The kotzer l'shachas, right? Masik. That makes a separation between the two fields. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Meir says that if you cut shachas, that's not considered katsira. I think what's going on here is basically, you can't say that the field is completely grown, and then you cut, and you start the harvest from the middle of the field, now all of a sudden you have two fields. No, that's part of the ketzira. You start at the point there. You're going to do the whole thing. What Rav Meir is saying is that if you harvest shachas, that's not considered ketzira. So what you're doing here is you're pulling up shachas, and now you're making two separate fields. That's what Rav Meir holds. But chachamim omrim ein masik. That kotzer shachas, that's considered part of the ketzira. That's considered the first stage in harvesting. And once you're harvesting one portion, it's not going to separate the two fields. Right? Chachamim omrim ein masik el inkin chorish. But when does harvesting shachas make a problem? If you harvest the shachas and then you plow that area. Now you've clearly shown that harvesting of the shachas had nothing to do with the rest of the field. Because you're plowing the area away, and now you've separated the two fields and you have to take extra pay out. Okay. That's the Mishnah. So now, the Gemara is going to try to come through three different possibilities of who Rav Meir holds like, which again, I have a problem with that. I question a problem. Rabbi Meir is a Tana. Why does he have to hold like anybody? Right? We only say, you know, he's a Tana, so he holds like what his sheep is. But the Gemara is starting to say that Rav Meir holds, first going to say that Rav Amar Rabba Barachana, in the name of Rav Yochanan, Rav Meir Bishitas Rabbi Shimon Amara. Rav Meir, in this Mishnah Peah, who says that Ksira Shachas is not considered a Ksira, he lines up with Rabbi Shimon, Because Rabbi Shimon says in our Mishnah that a person can be kotzer the omer l'shachas and feed it to vehema af mishehe v'shlish, even if it grows to a shlish. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shimon, tzira shachas is not considered tzira. Otherwise, it would be usher to do before tzira omer. And what points out here, right, the omer yiksur, Peshitas Rabbi Shimon Amara, the omer yiksur, the yachil af mishehe v'ya shlish, amal kasav, we see that he holds, kol l'shachas lav tzirahi. Anything that harvesting Shachas is not considered a ketzira. Therefore, Rav Shimon says it's mutter in the Mishnah, and Rav Meir says it's not considered a harvesting. Therefore, it will divide the two fields. But you see from here, Rav Shimon holds that it's even beyond the shlish. So that if you're lining the two shittas together, that means Rav Meir holds that even if the shachas grew more than the shlish, and then you cut it before the rest of the fields, that's still considered not considered a ketzira, and will divide the two fields for payah. The Gemara says, wait a second, that's a problem. Yosef Rabba, the Ka'amar Leila Hai Shmaita, right? Rabba was sitting, and he said this Shmua about what Rabbi Yochanan says, and Esi Rabakar Hunla Rabba. And, let's change the gear, sir. And then Rabakar Hunla asked the following question. Wait, I have this follow. I have a Tosefta and Pele says as following. Let's say I have a field, Achal of Chagav, right, or Kirsuma Namolim, that either locusts or ants came and they ate a row. They ate a row, or Shivarta Haruach. A tornado came right smack down the middle and ripped up the area down the middle of the field. Hakol Modim. Everyone agrees, which was including Rav Meir. Hakol Modim, that Charash Mafsik, Lo Charash Eino Mafsik. That this destruction of the field is not considered a hefsik between the two fields unless you plowed afterwards. Even Rav Meir. Rav Meir said, because maybe Rav Meir would agree that any time that you do something, it's not considered katsira, and therefore it would separate the fields. So he's right. Lo charash eino mafsik. Hakol modim man. Who's the person who's cold? Who's saying hakol modim? That's Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, the problem that Gemara's going to have now is that it's mashma, by saying that Rav Meir holds a Rav Shimon, that means Rav Meir holds that even katsira shlish is not considered a katsira, even if it's more than a shlish. So the Mishnah, the Gemara asks now, Iyamart Bishlama, if you say the following, then the Tosefta makes sense. If you say that the Masnisin is Bishalohi Biyashlish, that the Mishnah Peah, where Meir says that if you do Ketzira of the Shachas, it separates, because it's not going to the Ketzira, that is only if it didn't grow a Shlish. Then we would say that the Brisa, and the Brisa now here, that the Namalim is Bishalohi Biyashlish. And that's why Rav Meir makes a distinction. He makes a distinction between Hevishlish and Lo Hevishlish. But El Iyah Mark Masnisin Non Hevishlish. If you say Rav Meir holds a Rav Shimon, and therefore our Mishnah is talking about a case that even the Shachas grew more than a third, and then so what's the difference between that Mishnah and our Mishnah? El Iyah Mark Masnisin Non Hevishlish V'Hashda. Then we had the question: Mahas and the Ktsir the Adam. In the case of the Mishnah, where we're talking about a person is being kotzer. And it's not considered a separation, it's not considered a ketzira, and therefore it divides the fields. So, hasam ketzira the adam, amar b'meyo lo shma ketzira. So, hachan the septa, we're talking about the locusts ate it, that's also not going to be a ketzira, and that should separate the field. It's bad luck on you that the locusts came and separated your field, now you have to take extra payah. But if a person does it, it's not considered a ketzira. If an animal does it, it's not considered a ketzira. So what would be the difference? Why is Rav Meir modin the Tosefta, and if it's talking about cases where it is even more than a shlish? If you say that the Mishnah is not a shlish, and the Tosefta is a shlish thing, we have a distinction. But they're both the same amount of growth, there's no distinction. So clearly, Rav Meir can't hold like Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon holds that it's not considered a ketzira, even if it grows a shlish. Right? The Gemara says, Ella, Rabbi Meir, Bishitas Rabbi Yehuda Amara. Rav Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda say in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda came to explain the Tanna Kamma, and he said, Amasai, when is it permitted to harvest the Shachas prior to the Omer? That's Bizman Shehischil Ad Shelo Lehivi Shlish. Up to the time that it grows a Shlish. So only up to a Shlish is it considered a Ktsira. Aval Im Hischil Ad Shehivi Shlish Usher. But once you have a Shlish, then it's Usher. Now we have no problem. Rav Meir is a holik Rav Yehuda, who says that harvesting shachas prior to a shlish is not considered a harvesting, therefore it will separate the fields of Gavi Peah. And that will be the difference between the Mishnah Peah and the Tosefta Peah. The Mishnah Peah, where Meir says makes a separation, that's because it grew, it didn't have to grow on a shlish. The Tosefta, where it says it's not a separation, is because it grew more than a shlish. No problem. Or it's not a big problem. Why? Because if that's the case, Amar, the Shaman, now, basically the Mishnah is going to say is that Rabbi Yehuda was coming to give a caveat to Tanakhama, not coming to give his own opinion. And if we explain the Bryce of the Mishnah this way, apparently, and I haven't figured it out yet, if we explain the Mishnah this way, apparently it's going to make Rabbi Yehuda third Shita. So Amar just shamish to Rabbi Yehuda. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that Katsiru L'Shachas is not Katsiru L'Katsiru? He only says that L'Behema. He only says if you're cutting, if you're harvesting the Shachas, less than a swish, for use by your animals. But L'Adam Yishamaslai, at what point in time do we ever see that Rabbi Yehuda says that you can even be kosher the Shachas for a person? The case is in the Tosefta and Peah is Katsiru L'Adam, right? The case in our Mishnah is Katsiru L'Behema. Because if you say, the Gemara says, if you say that Rabbi Yehuda also says that you can harvest Shachas, less than a swish, for human consumption, to imkain, havaluhu tlosa tanoi. Then our Mishnah now represents an opinion, three opinions. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains. Havaluhu tlosa tanoi bimachnisim. What would be the three situations? Tanakama omer behedja lebehema. Look at our Mishnah. The Tanakama says it's, you give it to a, right? It says, kocha l'shachas and machil lebehema. So Tanakama is clearly talking about only giving it to an animal. That's number one. Shita number one. And then comes Rabbi Yehuda l'meimar, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm the ema side, this mancha hitzchil achlo hivishlish. But feel other mami shari. So now Rabbi Yehuda is coming to claim that this shlish is permitted even to give it to a person. And then came Rabbi Shimon, who says you can even be, can be kocha l'chathila for a person even beyond the shlish. But that can't be, Rashi points out, in Cain also Rabbi Yehuda l'achlo. Then Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be cholik. The kind of Lamas Sanhedrin, we have established a rule from the Parak Sanhedrin in Bachaf A of Sanhedrin, call Makom Shoshana Rabbi Yehuda Amasai. Anytime Rabbi Yehuda used the word Amasai, Eno El Lafarish, right? Ubame Lacho. The word Amasai used by Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain a previous Shita. But if he says Bamedar Namurim, that he's coming to be Kholik. Average says Amasai. So he's clearly not coming to be Kholik. And if you say that Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are the same Shita, that means Rabbi Yehuda applies the same thing to Rav Meir. Rav Meir is talking about a case where it's Ksira less than a Shachas for a person. Rav Meir never said that doing Ksira less than a, doing that Ksira at that point in time for a person is not considered Ksira. He only said the same when it came to the Masa to the Behema. So therefore, we knocked out to strike two, who Rabbi Meir holds like. Now comes the third pitch. The third pitch is that Rav, the Amar Ella Ki Asir Rav Dimi, Rav Dimi came, Amar, he says Rav Meir, Beshitas Rabbi Kiva Rabo Amara. Rav Meir says his din in accordance with the Shita of his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. Right? What is Rav, so then, what does Rabbi Meir hold? Rav Meir holds that Ksira L'Shachas, right, cutting for a Shachas, even for a person, does not have the same Ksira. That's why when you cut the Shachas between the two fields, it separates two fields of Gabikeya. Okay? Right? So he says, Beshitas Rabbi Kiva Rabo Amara, who says, Akhil Sorek Adam Namilo Havik Ksira. That even cutting shachas for the needs of a person is not considered ksira. How do we have that? The Tanan, we have the following Mishnah in Maseches Peah. This is Menachos, right? We have the following Mishnah in Maseches Peah that says, Haminamer Sodeh. Okay, Rashi says, Haminamer Sodeh means is that you harvested one row, left over another row. You did like the Sirugin, you kind of skipped over. So one row was harvested, one row was not, so it looks kind of like different fields. So Haminamer Sadeh, right, he did it that way. Vishir bo kilachim lachim. And you left in the fields that you didn't, I'm not sure, you left in the fields these kilachim lachim, these moist growths. Right? I guess you left in the fields these moist growths. Where did you leave them over? Right, the Ihavi Gavli Kol Tzorchon, the Kuliyama Peya Achas al Hakol, the Tzilach Tzirihi. So what happened? So in the area that you didn't harvest, these things weren't completely grown yet. If they were completely, everything was completely grown, then what you harvested is just the beginning of the ksira. But these things aren't ready to be niksar. So the question now is, you harvested what's ready, and you left over what's not ready. So have you now divided the fields into two different fields, then required to take pay on each of the fields. Right? So Rabbi Kiva Omer, pay lechol echa be'echa, which you did since, you have to take a pay on each row. You have to leave pay on each row. Each row is now judged its own field because it was different produce. But Chami Omer, no, me'echad alakol. From one shura, you can take repaya for everything. So, Gemara says, Vam Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Lochi Rabbi Akiva, when did Rabbi Akiva say that it's paya mikol echad be'echad? Elab de minamir lekloyos. If you did the harvesting, right, to make sort of kloyos, which Rashi says means they haven't grown a shlish. Aval b'namir le'otzer. But if you harvested after everything was completely grown, lo, then it's not the din, and then Rabbi Akiva would agree that it's considered one field. So you see from here that Rav Meir holds that Sira cutting the tzvua before it reached the shlish, even for a person, is not considered tzira. And that's going to be exactly like Rav Meir, who's going to say that kotzer l'shachas is masik, even if it was kotzer l'tzer of Adam, as long as it hasn't grown more than a shlish. So any of the exact case, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Akiva says. That's what Shmuel says, Rabbi Akiva says. But that's not what everyone else says, Rabbi Akiva says. Valki asa Rabin, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabin said the name Rabbi Yochanan, that mechayev haya Rekiva after benam l'otzer. Rabbi Akiva said it's chayev, even if a person was coached to the tzvua with the otzer, which means it grew more than a shlish, right? He would say that also you'd have to take peya from each area, which now he's not holding like Rav Meir, because Rav Meir only said up to a shlish, because we have the differences between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. So Gemara answers, not a problem. Sabra lachivasi b'chada, or panik l'b'chada. He holds like Rabbi Akiva in one instance, and not the other instance. Meaning, he holds like Rabbi Akiva who says that tzira before a shlish does not have a shame tzira, even if it's done with so like a person. Therefore, in our case in Peya, where it was done before a shlish, for a person, it separates the field. However, upalik l'b'chada, but he's holding like in the other instance, upalik on where it grew more than a shlish. If it grew more than a shlish, Rabbi Akiva says it's still not considered a tzira, and therefore you would have to take peya on each part of the field. Rav Meir says no, more than a shlish. He holds like the Tosefta, who says more than a shlish. That's considered the start of the harvest, and therefore you only require peya on one field. It won't consider making separate fields. It requires you to take peya on each of those separate areas. Okay, stop here. Have a wonderful.